Hello, and welcome to the GDUSA podcast, an ongoing series of conversations with influencers and thought leaders shaping graphic design. My name is Gordon Kay. I am publisher of Graphic Design USA, a source of news ideas and information for the creative community for the past 60 years. That's 6-0. Today, I am extremely pleased to have Debbie Barnett as our guest. Debbie is principal, creative director, and founder of Barnett Design in northern New Jersey. The firm is 3 decades old. The core creative team has been together for more than 20 years, and they have served innumerable corporate, institutional, and nonprofit clients. From my personal point of view, Barnett Design is exceptional in both their quality, the quality of their design solutions, and for their consistent excellence over time, which is what prompted me to invite Debbie to join us today. And she will attest that I've been trying to do this for a long time so that she can tell us a little bit about her story to explore how she and her team have worked together so long and so well, and for her to share some of her hard-won experience as a designer, entrepreneur, manager, and someone who believes in the importance of building caring relationships. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you, Gordon. What a kind introduction. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for your patience and for waiting for me all these years. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're delighted. So first, could you tell us a little bit about your personal journey? How and when did you become interested in graphic design as a career?
Sure. My personal journey, well, really began as a child. I loved to draw and paint. I would sit at the kitchen table with my grandmother and we would sketch still lifes and have our conversations. And it was really fulfilling and great. And when I got to eighth grade, my eighth grade teacher, I guess she saw something in what I was doing. And she called my parents and had them come in and she showed them my artwork and said, "There's something here. You really ought to encourage your daughter," which they had been, but they hadn't really heard it from someone else like that. And my grandmother, again, came to me and said, "You know, your cousin is dating a woman who works for Elizabeth Arden, and she's a package designer." And I didn't really know what that meant, but my grandmother said, "You ought to talk to her." So I did. And this girlfriend told me all about what she was doing as a package designer, and the light bulb went on. I loved everything about it. And I said, "That's it. I want to be a package designer." I loved the idea of the three dimensions. I loved making things out of paper, constructing things and wrapping things around, not just looking at one single surface. So when I was getting ready to go to college, in the end, I decided I wanted to go to a university with a good art department. And so that's actually what I did. I wound up at Montclair State and they were developing their program. Mm-hmm. The graphic design program started in their industrial arts building, which cracked me up. People didn't really know what to do with graphic design back then.
Right.
They brought in some really good adjunct professors that were in the field. They were incredibly inspiring. I learned a ton from them. I had so many great mentors going through college. And then I got out into the world and worked at an ad agency, at a package design studio, and then in a packaging department at a large corporation. It was a paperboard company. Worked on lots of big brands. Most of it was package design. And I was rubbing elbows with the structural design department, which was fascinating. I knew I always wanted to have my own studio someday, but I felt like I needed a little more experience before I did that. This was in the early 90s. And wouldn't you know it, things got a little tough. The company was sold. They dissolved our department. And I was without a job. And it was a little tough to get a job at that point. So I was interviewing. I was going to studios. Mm-hmm. They loved my work. And they said, "We'd love to hire you, but we're not hiring anyone right now. However, if you were doing your own thing, we could bring you in for projects. Maybe you would freelance a little." And I heard that a number of times and said, maybe it's time. So I set up shop in my apartment and Barnett Design was born.
Before we go into how you started mm-hmm. your own firm, you had gone to graduate school in?
I did. While I was working for the corporation, I decided to start going to grad school. And I was interested in Pratt. I actually went to a portfolio day at Pratt before I went to Montclair State. And they said, yeah, we're going to pass. So I went back to Pratt after I graduated from Montclair with my new refreshed portfolio. And I listened to all their great constructive criticism. And they said, sure, this time it's a yes.
So that showed them.
That showed them. And it showed me, too. I had a lot to learn. It took me 8 years to get my master's degree. I took one class at a time while I was working. I would hoof it into the city after work and go to those classes. And each class was tremendous.
Yeah. And this was also primarily package design or entirely package design?
It was primarily package design. Mm-hmm. My degree is actually a master's of science in package design, but there were other design classes, all the rudiments that, of course, a designer would take.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I stopped you, your momentum of starting to tell us that you came to this inflection point in your career and you decided you wanted to start your own studio.
Yes.
Because I would think that other people are thinking the same thing I am, which is, how do you do this? Like, nobody tells you how to to get going.
It's so true. And I think it's huge. Surround yourself with good people. I was very fortunate to see my parents build a business. Same thing. They were working for other people. And then at some point, they decided to build a business. So I would listen to their conversations around the kitchen table. Did you get a check from this one? Someone's late with this payment. I have to call them. I have to do this. Just different things. And I didn't realize how much that all soaked in, that business side of things.
Yes.
Because I'm a designer. Here's another thing. I think it's so important for designers to really learn business, learn about business, take some classes. It's critical. So my parents, I would say, were my number one mentors. My whole family has been incredibly supportive. And then there were other people. The family accountant, who basically, to me, was a really nice man and did my tax returns. Little did I know. He so helped me. He was there to support me when times were great and when times were not so great and what to do about it. Yeah. So accountant, you need a good lawyer. You need someone who is really a good business head sounding board. People who can help you understand how to sell and maybe give you some input. Those are some of the things that I would say have to happen when you're starting a business. You need that support around you. You're going to work hard. You need to have good suppliers. I actually reached back to some of the people that I had been working with when I was at Federal Paper Board, and they were really good people and they were very supportive. Photographers, other designers, other support staff. I found that I needed to have contracts in place. You need to have good paperwork. You need to think about how you're going to promote yourself. It's overwhelming.
One of the issues that I face running a small business is sometimes carving out the time to do the creative side.
Yes.
How does that work?
Yeah. There's only so many hours in the day, that's for sure. And and in the night. Yeah, it is overwhelming. I know I've said that a few times. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing to manage because you could get burned out. Yeah, you have to be ready to work hard. And then again, you have to think about who to bring in and for what purposes. So at the beginning, I was doing 99% of the designing and probably 90% of the production and all of the estimating, all of the sales, all of the marketing, mm-hmm. all of the billing. And did I forget anything?
Well, I always talk about making the coffee and taking out the garbage.
Yep. All of it. And I remember 6 months in, I was sitting on my apartment floor trying to put together a file cabinet that I bought at one of the big box stores. And I think I got it together with half of the pieces still on the floor. And I burst into tears. And I was just thinking, what am I doing? Is this going to work at all? So the next day, I reached out to one of my mentors and he told me, he said, 6 months in, maybe it would be 6 months in a day. You will say, I don't know how I ever worked for anyone else. So I was kind of hoping that that feeling would come. And I kind of, in my gut, it was there. It was there. So how do you do it all? You just do. And then you think of, what are those things you can delegate?
And how were these early clients? How did you obtain them?
How did I obtain them? Referrals, networking, and cold calling.
And at what point did you decide that you had to surround yourself with other people?
If you're talking about surrounding myself with other people as far as adding to the team?
Yes.
Yeah. So the first couple of years, as I said, I had good colleagues and friends that were pitching in. I paid everybody. That was never a question. But they would kind of fill in, like help out with some of the design work, help out with illustration. So it was getting to be year five. And I was thinking, you know, I think I need to have some design help. And I reached out to some of my mentors, and they knew people that were looking here and there, part-time work and that sort of thing. So that worked for a little while. My biggest problem, I would say, was relinquishing control. And yeah, I think that's something maybe a lot of creatives have trouble with, but it worked out over time. And I will say that everybody I ever brought on worked out well in some way. And at this point, I would like to give a big shout out to our creative team. They are absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I love them all. Jeff, Val, Tara, Rob, Bob. They're fantastic. They're just such a good group. And there are a few more that help us in many ways. You just build a family.
So in the first few years, you had come out of a package design background.
Right.
But
yes.
You were broadening out your skill set and client base?
Yes. We found that clients started asking us for other things. They said, well, we know you did a great job on this package design. Can you develop a logo for us? Can you do a brochure? Can you do some sales support materials to go along with this? And they loved the way we thought, our creative process, how we solved problems, how we dug in. They loved our design and production capabilities. So they weren't concerned about how much of that we may have done before. And I love that. And I appreciate that. That's how you grow.
And how about you? Did you have the confidence to just jump in and do the next thing and the next thing?
Yes.
Was that a challenge?
It was a good challenge. It wasn't an insurmountable challenge. It wasn't a nervous challenge. Not at all. It wasn't like I never produced brochures or logos or other things like that. I mean, that's when you're a designer, you're asked to do all kinds of things over your lifespan.
Sure.
Didn't have a problem with it. And I remember when I was working from home at the beginning, my husband would hear me on these calls and he would get all nervous. He would say, but how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that?
See, that's me. I panic when somebody asks me to do something out of my comfort zone. Then later I calm down and try to methodically go after it. But that first initial feeling is panic in my chest.
Well, I like to call that excitement.
Yeah.
And
it's a good spin. Yeah.
And then the methodical part of it, that's a lot of who we are and how we approach projects. It has to be. You have to kind of peel it apart. One of the projects we worked on was a 10-foot tiki hut for Bacardi. That was big. Our client happened to be a display house. So we were actually their graphic support for Bacardi. And they understood the mechanics of the structure. So they would give us the die lines. We absolutely understood die lines, how to lay things out on dimensional surfaces, what materials to use. So we were comfortable creating those graphics and we understood the scale. That's another thing you have to think about if you're designing something tiny, or you're designing something that someone's going to look at from 15 feet away. So you learn.
So I stopped you from a very important point, which is how long your team has been together and how beautifully you all work together. How has that happened?
How has that happened? So our current team, which, as you said, it's more than two decades. Jeff, our senior art director, actually began as a co-op student, such a talented guy. I remember when he came in and his portfolio was outstanding. And the nice thing as an aside is his advisor had to come and do a site visit to make sure that where Jeff was going was really a reputable, legit place. And when this advisor came in, we had a nice conversation and he said, by the way, are you interested in teaching by any chance? So I picked up an adjunct professorship job as well. As Jeff coming on board. And Jeff, he's grown. He's learned so much. He's taught me so much throughout the years. So that's been fabulous. Val found us. She reached out. She found us in some directory many, many years ago. And she's just grown with us for the past 14 plus years. Tara was a part-timer way back before Jeff. And then she left, got her family going, and then she came back. So it's been a ton of years. And we know each other in the studio. We've been to each other's events, the joyful ones and the tough ones. We're there for each other in every way.
Is it a purely organic evolution of a relationship, or are you mindful about how you include and inspire the group?
It's mostly organic. If you're asking from a creative point of view, like how do we come together? How do projects develop?
Yes.
So typically I'm the one who brings the work in. That's kind of how it goes. So I'll have the initial contact with a client most of the time. And then we'll talk these things over as a team, and we'll have a variety of projects, and different team members might say, oh, I have a thought about this, or I wouldn't mind taking the lead on this one. And somebody else says, I'm happy to jump in on this one. And everyone just wants to support one another and jump in and do and create. So that happens. And then the rest of us are the feedback team. So who's ever leading will then present ideas to the rest of the group. And it might be that maybe I did a scribble at first and said, here's a quick thumbnail. Here's something I was thinking about. You might want to try that. You might want to try something else. And another team member may do the same thing. They may have some thoughts or quick sketches. And then the lead person on the job will take it and run with it and then come back to the team, and we'll all provide our feedback. We'll start scribbling again. I mean, we literally stand around a big table and look at things together. And when we're remote, we stand around a big Zoom screen. But whatever it is, we're all providing that creative input.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
And how in this post COVID era, what's the mix in terms of being in the office versus using Zoom or other remote technologies?
We're hybrid at this point. I would say we're successfully hybrid. And I was not a proponent of that necessarily. I should say I wasn't really optimistic about 100% remote. And I think the team agrees. We all love getting together and physically being together in a space so that as we're working on things, you know, someone's running out for coffee and comes past someone else's desk and says, "Ooh, I hope you don't mind. I just took a peek at what you're doing. And I think this, or can we talk about that?" But we have successfully worked out this hybrid situation. It's really good. We get together very regularly and discuss jobs and share creative. And it's all part of the teamwork that makes us who we are.
I feel like you've had some very deliberate ideas about values and ethics.
Yes.
And how you treat both employees, although it's a terrible word because they sound like collaborators.
Yes.
And also clients.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
I would love to talk about that. I think this is the most important piece. And not only for survival, but also for thriving and just for being a human being. We're all people. When it comes right down to it, we're all people. And when we meet with a client, we really care about them. We want to know about their families and about what's going on with them, and not just about, okay, what's the project? You know, we get in a little deeper and we get to know our clients. And I think they really like that. And it gets to be meaningful and fun. It's just really good. And I'm going to say that not only about one another as team members and about our clients, but also you said you didn't like the word employees. I don't like the word vendors, because our vendors are people too, and we love them, and they're so there for us. They're part of us. It's just, this is one great cohesive group. Team.
You probably won't remember this, but back in 2018, when you were recognized as a person to watch in the industry by our magazine, one of the things you said was, we asked your weaknesses and strengths, and you said your strength is listening and your weakness is candy. I'm not so much interested in the candy part of it, but I'm interested in the listening part of it.
Well, I will tell you, nothing has changed since then. So when we talk about listening, really listening to what the client is asking for in terms of let's say the client may ask for something that we don't agree with, don't think it's the best approach, but we'll still show them, and then we'll show them something else. And there are times where we might be surprised and say, you know, we hadn't really thought about it that way, but that's actually working. Or the client may say, you know, yeah, you were right. I thought that was going to work, but I absolutely, your approach definitely makes more sense. When we have a meeting with a client, whether it's virtual, in person, even on the phone, because you can hear it, and we present a concept, we have to be mindful of the client's time. We need to hit those important points clearly, and I would say rather quickly. And when the client is sold on something, you got to stop selling. That's something I did learn early on, because you can watch their face just die. They're all happy. They're enthused. That's where I want to just like stop it. Okay, we're great. That's awesome. Here's our next steps. We'll see you later. So I think that's a really important thing. Read the room. Or if someone's not happy with something or it's not jiving with them, you can kind of tell if it's worth trying to push it or all you're going to do is get them upset. So yeah, I think that that's really important to know. We have this thing, I like to call it the art of the 10-minute meeting. We've been doing a lot of those now on Zoom with a client. We won't just like send out a PDF and say, here's your design, get back to us with comments. That's suicide. It's terrible. But everybody has 10 minutes to hop on a call and look at something together. If you really are the 10-minute person, if you wind up roping them in for a half an hour of too much conversation, they're not going to do it again. We've had a very high success rate with that.
Has it been your experience that clients, by and large, are able to articulate what they want and need?
I'm going to say yes. Maybe earlier on, when I was starting out and when we were a young studio, we didn't always know what the right questions were to ask.
Yeah.
So if a client wasn't providing that information, I think it's a little bit on us to know what to ask, so that we would really help them figure out what it is they wanted. A lot of our clients come to us and they know they're really on top of things. They've done their research. That's fantastic when that happens. And yet there are still sometimes some questions.
During the time that we've been talking, communicating over the years, you've talked a bit about the concept of working with purpose.
Yes.
Could you elaborate a bit on that?
Working with purpose. Yeah. I think digging into those projects and with those clients that are doing something that's meaningful, whether it's a nonprofit organization, it doesn't have to be. Sometimes it can be a consumer product that really does help people or brings them joy in a good way. A lot of it is looking for what's purposeful and what's meaningful about a client's product or service or organization. And that makes all the difference. I think that's what makes this work meaningful and satisfying for everybody. And clients feel that. And it helps them feel a sense of pride, too, when they see that we feel that way about what they're doing.
Yeah, I kind of express it as that the great designers can really get to the truth of the thing and bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're thinking about working with purpose and meaning, is it a broader concept than the current interest in social justice, designing for good kinds of projects? You're talking about a broader concept.
I am. And that leads back to, I think, what really is the core of who we are as a studio is we don't just design pretty things. First, we develop a rubric that gives us really the overall goals and the specific points to hit as we're creating. So that way, when we internally look at design concepts, and this includes the full package. It's not just design, it's the writing, it's the whole thing that goes together. We don't just say, yeah, I like it, or yeah, I don't like it, because that doesn't help anything. And it doesn't let us know if we really achieved our goals or it's just a personal preference. So we'll look at that rubric and we know, does it hit these points? Does it achieve the goals that we mapped out? And if it's a yes, great, we're ready to present. If it's no on certain points, we have to go back and revisit and make sure, even though it might look nice, but it's missing the mark a little bit. And then when we take it to our client, we present it the same way with that idea of the rubric so that the client doesn't go through that same frustrating process of, I like it, I don't like it, or, you know, one person in the group likes it, the other one doesn't, we can have a better conversation about what this all means and if we're fulfilling the purpose of it.
It's been 3 decades. How do you stay motivated and engaged as you clearly are?
Oh, wow. I would say I can't imagine not being motivated and engaged, especially in this creative kind of field. It shifts around over the years, like some of the different tools that we have to work with. And there are different challenges as tools are first introduced. Also, absolutely on the same level as far as being motivated and engaged, the whole team is that way. And we feed off of one another. And we can find this kind of motivation, not only in design, but just in what we're doing in our lives. We all have really interesting personal lives, our activities outside of the office. And I think that's what makes it even more interesting. I love to go for a hike. If I'm feeling maybe a little frazzled, I want to see the dirt under my feet. I want to look at rocks and leaves and trees and the sky and take some nice deep breaths. And it's completely rejuvenating. It works.
One of my personal failures is that I tend to just work until I exhaust myself and I don't allow myself to breathe. And I know that's wrong, but it's a deeply ingrained habit that somehow the amount of hours I log is directly related to productivity or something. So it's nice to hear that you're able to get yourself out of your seat and into nature.
Okay. Well, full disclosure, sometimes I eat lunch at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now I feel better.
It happens.
I used to be a lawyer, so I knew I could fool you into that admission.
Well, honesty is one of my things. So
yeah.
There you have it.
Absolutely. One of the things you mentioned was you did some teaching. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely love it. And I am itching to do more of it. So I find that you were asking about how do you stay inspired? Well, that's yet another way. Mm-hmm. Just being able to share, being able to learn. None of us, I don't think, are ever done learning. I love seeing what students are all about, how they're thinking, what their approach is. And sometimes some of their questions are like, wow, I never really thought about that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
As a practical matter, is the mix of projects that you're being asked to do changing? And is it less something and more something?
Well, it's definitely changed over the years. Certainly, obviously, digital wasn't even a factor years ago. So yes, we're still doing a ton of print work. We're also doing a lot of work that is both print and digital. So sometimes we'll create something for, let's say it's a brochure, and then we have to repurpose it into some kind of digital application. If we're working on an event, let's say, for an organization, it's not just their printed invitation and their printed ad journal and signage, et cetera. It's also digital promo, landing page, all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a variety and it goes back and forth. Like all of a sudden, a few weeks ago, it's kind of funny, but we designed like 4 different business cards, which can still be fun and
yeah.
People still need them and use them. Maybe
yes.
They have a big QR code on them, but we're still doing that. Yeah.
And have you honed these various expertise within your group or do you have to go outside? Do you delegate elsewhere?
Mostly it's our core team. And then we have a few others that are really part of our team that we've worked with for many years. So yes, we have a developer that does backend for website building, but he's really part of our team. He's fantastic. For social media campaign work, as I said, we just wrapped up the 6-month engagement that was super fun for a big brand. And we learned a lot. This was a client who was very confident in our ability and said, please do this for us. And we did. And we managed most of it with our core team. And then we also did a lot of the production for the animated stuff with one of our other team members that we bring on pretty regularly for that kind of work. So it's a combo.
So I think we've kind of captured the essence of why you've been successful in general and over the years. But is there any advice you would give to young designers starting out if they want to build something that's going to last?
Yes. Okay. So what I said at the beginning, people are people. Really, really think about people, respect them, respect their time, respect their lives, wherever they're coming from. None of us knows what other people are going through. And also in the same vein, have dignity, have your own dignity. Be kind, give a lot, give extra, but don't be a pushover. Work smart, use your business head, surround yourself with good people, mentors, team members. Listen, 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 and read the room. Trust your gut and keep on learning.
Wow. So I should take your advice and know that this is over because you really nailed it. However, how are you feeling about the future of the firm, of graphic design, the whole thing?
How am I feeling? I'm feeling a little bit like the last couple of years, it's been like the first couple of years. It's almost like we've had an opportunity, and I know there have been so many struggles and difficult stories, and we've pushed through. I feel like we got a kick in the pants to really not get too far away from how we began, and that the whole concept of relationships and kindness and how are you doing? What's going on? How can we help? So that's sort of my out there answer. So more specifically, you know, I'm inspired and motivated. It doesn't mean I'm never stressed. There's plenty of stress because I think there's lots of new things and technology, as you mentioned, that are coming at us all the time. There's a new generation of people that think maybe differently in some ways, and we have to be open to learning about all of that if we want to continue. I never like these quick fix design things that crop up every number of years, like when desktop publishing came out and people stopped coming to us for newsletters because they had someone in-house that could just do it. But you know what? We survived that. And they realized that the future of graphic design is in the thinking that's behind the design. So I think that's the future, is the thinking.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end that than to say thank you to Debbie Barnett. That was really a wonderful experience talking to you.
Oh, wow. Gordon, thank you too. I really appreciate being here.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. You can listen to and download the GDUSA podcast wherever podcasts are available. You can visit us at gdusa.com. If you have time and enjoyed today's podcast, please consider rating us and leaving a review on your podcast platform. It helps new listeners find the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.